just love song playing in my
number
heart.
One station Lightning. Number one station Lightning. Number one station Lightning. Number one station Lightning.
Let it go, let it go.
Number one station Lightning.
For tenderness to reach your soul.
Let it go, let it go.
I feel that you no longer love me no more.
Let me go, let me go.
I feel that you desire a whole lot more.
Let me know, let me know.
Yeah. In all of the times that I treat you bad, how could I think I deserve you?
Definitely, definitely gonna say welcome back after those ad breaks. Daddy Fridge inside the place, taking you through to the hours of 8 p.m. Good evening, welcome aboard. Another last love song. Easy Red Lux.
I know that you desire a whole lot more.
Let me know.
Oh,
let me know.
Oh, 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 oh. Another lost love song playing in my heart. Hey, yeah. Woo, 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 woo. Oh.
What a way to do it, huh? You're in tune to Daddy Fridge and Mr. T, and we're here with an artist that was born in the UK and is UK's best ever reggae singer-songwriter. This artist has over 2.5 decades worth of experience on the reggae scene. It's none other than the one and only Lloyd Brown. Thanks for giving us your time here today at Lightning FM, Lloyd.
Hey, greetings, Father Refrigerator, man. And Mr. T and everyone tuning into Lightning FM. Big love, enough respect, as always.
All right, Lloyd. First of all, let me start off by asking you where it all started for you. Because I'm told in 1979 you started DJing in blues dances and things progressed from there. Please explain some more.
Well, I mean, you know, from day one, really, you know, I came up from a typical black British West Indian background, you know, mother and father, brother and a sister. And mother and father both worked very hard to make ends meet and keep a roof over our heads. And for entertainment, my mother would basically cook a big pot of food and my father would play would play music over the weekend for relaxation. Right. He would play secular music on a Saturday and play gospel music on a Sunday. And I was kind of like soaked into the music and what the music was kind of giving me at that time, you know. And it wasn't until like 1977, really, upon my first visit to Jamaica, that I really got the bug for music. Same. I mean, because you got to overstand at the same time. I mean, like a black British youth going to Jamaica for the first time, coming from a country that didn't really have a lot of black role models featured on the media, you know, because we only had like three TV stations at the time and, you know, a couple of dedicated reggae programs on the radio. So we wasn't really getting it 24/7 wall to wall like we have now. So on my first visit to Jamaica, Bob Marley's Exodus was the album that was released. And, you know, just seeing people like Freddie McGregor advertise Red Stripe and Dennis Brown and Big Youth on the TV celebrating their number one single day by day was like a culture shock for me. But it was a culture shock that did feel nice, you get me? So as a result of that, I confirmed within myself that I wanted to be involved with music, because music kind of had an emotive quality that made me cry, it made me laugh, it made me feel the pain of those who were suffering, you know, in places that I'd never been before. And it just, you know, it was just like a piece of social commentary for me. So, you know, it was down to me to basically say to myself, you know what, I'm going to give the people exactly what music gave to me. And from there, I started DJing, as like you said, in blues dances and shubins, because that was like a part of the apprenticeship.
Yeah, man.
Really. I mean, sound systems were like the classrooms, if like, for budding musicians and singers and DJs. And, you know, it was really tested by the forward that you would get, you know, in a dance, you know, just by the roar of the crowd, how popular you are. And, you know, even to even get on the mic in those days, you know, you had to kind of like join the queue and kind of bide your time and wait. But then when it was your time to go on the mic, you had to cut it straight one time.
What you say?
And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be around a lot of sound systems at that time and a lot of people who was really dedicated towards the music, you know, just music in general. So, you know, in the shubins and the dances, I would practice my craft, and I would get the forward and things like that. And, you know, I developed my craft on different sound systems like Exodus, Eastman, Jamarcus, Unity. I had a little stint with Jemmy Magic for a while. And from there, from that was like 1979 to 1981. And then that was my second visit to Jamaica. And it was really, really confirmed at that point, you know, that I really wanted to be a professional singer. And I used to go to, like, the dance halls and the stage shows that was going on in Jamaica at the time, because you had, like, the original dance hall crew, like Volcano Sound, Kilimanjaro, Gemini, and you listen to people like Yellow Man and Eka Mouse and Johnny Ringo and Rankin Tyan, you know, people from the George Pang stable and the Henry John Jalar stable, all those kind of production that was coming out at the time. So, you know, so I had a very healthy diet on those tunes and those sound systems and entertainers off those sound systems. So I kind of honed my craft from there. And then I came back to England, joined a band called Sweet Distortion, and cut my teeth on the live circuit, basically. And that was really the start of my career, like August 1982. So 27 years later and 13 albums later, I'm here talking to you right now, promoting my latest album and just, you know, waxing lyrical about my life in the business so far.
For real. When you joined Sweet Distortion, it was 1984.
Yeah.
Reggae newcomers, innit?
No, it was 1982. It was 1982,
yeah? That you got voted best reggae newcomers?
No. I joined the band in 1982, and we performed a lot of benefit shows and things like that, because the one thing that was unique about Sweet Distortion was that the youngest member of the group was younger than the youngest member of Musical Youth, because that group just done Bust Up the Place with Pastor Dutchie. And we was like on the scene in a more domestic setting. But at that time, you know, there wasn't enough room in the marketplace for two youth bands, you know what I'm saying? So we just decided to just to go out and do some benefit shows and do some community-based events, live shows and things like that. And just to pose a difference between us and Musical Youth, we decided to sing more contemporary adult standard cover versions and things like that. So, you know, I kind of came into the business backwards, where we started working live as opposed to making records, making music at that time. So it was like couple of years after that, we was nominated for Best Newcomers by Echoes Magazine.
Yep.
And, you know, our name started to build, and a lot of promoters wanted us to support major acts at that time. We supported Yellow Man, we supported Eka Mouse, we supported Gregory Isaacs, we supported Aswad on that famous Live and Direct album. I don't know if you know that album, the Live and Direct album that they recorded at Meanwhile Gardens in Notting Hill.
Yep.
We were the support act for Aswad on that very day, that very gig, and that is a day that I will never ever forget, because even though we had no real documentation of us performing, you know, by the very fact that Aswad recorded that album, it always takes me back to that time. So we cut our teeth working on the live circuit, and we actually performed with Musical Youth around a year after that as well, and they were big fans of ours also. So it was like a fellowship, you know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, after, you know, working on the sound system circuit and then working on the community circuit, and then linking up with the big artists and the big musicians of the day, and then, you know, realizing our talent and our potential and our worth, in fact. And, you know, just having the respect from those people just gave us strength, and me in turn strength to just advance in my career.
For real, Lloyd, the year of 1987 saw the split of the group, but there was no stopping you. This gave you time to pursue your solo career and bring out three big singles, which were released on Robert Rib's Unity label, and were entitled Music Melody, Ring Up My Number, and The Love in Me. Please tell us a bit what it was like working with Robert Ribs and on these productions.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said before, you know, I did cut my teeth on the sound system circuit, and Unity Sound was one of the sounds involved, and at that time, Ribs was like one of the few sound system owners to actually have a label out at the time, and, you know, we had a wealth of talent, because South London had Saxon and North London had Unity and right. all the other sounds. But like with Unity, we started cutting, making music for him. It was like Peter Bouncer, Richie Davis, myself, Cela Collins, Nitty Gritty would voice on the rhythms on that label as well. And for me, you know, I was singing more lovers rock tunes at that time. And those three tunes that you mentioned were more or less like airplay hits for me. They weren't really hits of any note. But I was thankful, said Speed, you know what I mean? I was, you know, I got play on the radio, which is more that could be said for some. And with that, it's like, you know, it was just a case of just building and building and building from there. And, you know, in that time, we as a group, Sweet Distortion, we were still like together, but we got into a different forum. We were auditioned for Black Heroes in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
We auditioned as the role of the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
And we got the part, and we toured with that theatre company all over England. We went to America. We toured Jamaica as well. And that was a real, real eye-opening experience for me, because I met a lot of my heroes over there as well.
Yeah.
It was a good time. It was a nice, healthy time for me, and, you know, taking in the, you know, the music and the history, because with Black Heroes, it's like a pageant celebrating, you know, the achievement of black people for over the last 4,000 years. And it split into like six parts. You would have the kings and queens, you'd have the freedom fighters, you would have Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Marcus Garvey, the three wise men, giving their respective speeches and things like that, and the great entertainers, you know. Mm-hmm. And I played, like I said, one of the Jackson 5, but then I advanced into playing solo roles like Dennis Brown and Otis Redding as well. And for that as well, that was a great chance for me to exercise stagecraft as well, you know, as well as getting an education within the production that I was in, you know. So It was good for the head and the heart as well.
Okay, it was the year of 1990. Saw the hard work finally reached a high point with you getting your first number one hit and reggae single of the year. But there was just no stopping you. You then went on to get your second number one hit and another reggae single of the year. You also done a cover of Otis Redding's These Arms of Mine. Why did you choose to do a cover to this?
Well, I mean, it was like a full circle thing for me, because the very first tune that I heard as like a six-year-old And it made me cry. Living Eyewater was Otis Redding, These Arms of Mine. It's just something about it. It's like you can hear the yearning, you can feel the yearning in Otis' voice when you hear that song, you know. And for me to be able to have relative success at that time in the music industry was like, for me, it was like a thank you to honor him and to cover his song of Sharing the Night, of These Arms of Mine. But obviously Sharing the Night was a song that really kind of brought me out there, and that was with the help of Junior Frost. And he basically phoned me and asked me would I like to cover the song. I thought it was a Delroy Wilson piece. I thought that was really the original blueprint, but he informed me that it was Dr. Hook that was the original blueprint. So he played their version to me on the phone, and I loved it. And I said, yep, let's go, let's voice it. And we went to Progressive Sound Studios in Battersea the following day. Matthew and Fluxy was the session musicians. Yeah. Don Ricardo was the engineer. Nice. And obviously I voiced the tune. And within 3-4 months, the song was basically pressed and released, and it became our first number one. And I didn't really have any songs to record after that, because I didn't have any idea that the song would reach number one. I was just glad for the airplay if I got it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it reached number one. It became a firm favorite with a legion of female fans, and I found myself touring the PA circuit like 3 times over just to sing this one tune. And I had to literally sing the tune like around 3 times every time.
My gosh, you know.
So it became like a firm favorite with the ladies, and that was really like the launch pad to really start off my recording career proper, you know.
I hear that. Okay, let's move on to The Hit Stress, which was a collaboration with you and Tipperary, which caused a bit of controversy at first, but I believe the reason why it done this was because the song had a strong message, which was also a truthful message. The song topped the UK reggae charts. What was it like working with Tipper on this and topping the UK charts?
Oh, man, it was amazing. I mean, Tipperary, as well as the Saxon Massive, was like, for me, you know, Saxon sound was like the Motown of all sound systems, because, you know, no other sound really spawned as much successful solo artists as Saxon did. You had Tipperary, you had Maxi Priest, you had Smiley Culture, Sandy, Rusty, you know, the whole of them, you know. So for me, it was like, it was an honor for me to collaborate with Tipper. There was just something about, you know, my vibe and Tipper's vibe that kind of brought us together, because he was very... he was very appreciative of my works and my talents, and likewise with me and him. So because he wrote very quirky, tongue-in-cheek lyrics, you know, I kind of wanted to write something that would suit his lyrics. So basically we wrote It's a Love Thing, which was the first collaboration between me and Tipper. And that was like our first number one together. And then the second tune, obviously, was Stress. And to date, that became our biggest hit. That was like number one in the charts for 10 weeks.
Right.
And we were signed to Arista Records on the back of that. And, you know, it was just a great time for me and him, you know. It was just nice for us to get together and just do something different within our respective crafts, and just, you know, do a collaboration together, because at that time you had people like Chakademus and Pliers.
Yep.
You had Eastwood and Saint as well around at the same time. So the whole duo thing was kind of like the combination thing was kind of running that time. You had General Levy and Junior Dan. So, you know, it was all kind of running in that way, in that fashion. And, you know, I think our combination was the most successful. And we just basically just, you know, worked from that and decided to record an album, which later was entitled Combination, which subsequently it was dropped from the label, but we decided to put it out ourselves on Tex Johnson's label. So the album Combination, for those who are lucky enough to have it, that was the Arista album that we were supposed to put out with Arista. But as you know, with major record companies and reggae music, there's always a difficulty and a gulf of knowledge between the artist and the record company as how best to market reggae acts, you know. So, but we didn't mind, you know what I mean, you know, because, you know, we had the experience of being with a major company, and we gave thanks for that, and we, you know, it was just time for us to move on. But as you know, me and Tipper remain good friends up to this very day, you know, and you know, it's just what we do, what we love to do.
Yeah, man. Okay, you then released Baby Mother, and then it was the year of 1960. It was the year of 1996.
Back to the future.
The year of 1996, which saw your debut album, Straight No Chaser. What was it like working with UK's leading lovers rock producers, Groove and Coulter, on this?
Well, Straight No Chaser was an album that was conceived between myself and Dwayne Burke, William Flowers, and Colin, who make up the group, the Administrators. Now, so, I've got to tell you something about this group, man. This group, for me, were like the king of the lovers rock one drop at that time. There was nothing to test them. Every tune that they came out with was a number one. Emergency, Move Your Sexy Body, all them tunes there. It was like, it just had that one drop. And even the artists that they worked with Trevor Dixon, Vivian Sugarlove Jones. Sugarlove was Administrators Groove and a Quarter production as well. And Sylvia Teller, you know, all of the songs that they basically produced were number ones, every single one of them. So it was a no-brainer for me to basically work with them. And we decided to do the album, which was entitled Straight No Chaser. And obviously we decided to do a remix of Sharing the Night. Stress was in there. It's a Love Thing. And that was really kind of like the album to introduce me just to the market, just to the English market.
Yeah.
Because, I had no idea that the music would travel so far as it did, because at that time, you know, the whole internet revolution was just in its embryonic stage, you know what I'm saying? So we had no idea, but music was basically the key, and we decided to release that with under our co-production skills. So that was like the first album for me.
Okay. You then moved on and done some works with Saxon and Jetstar. Also, you done some independent works with the likes of Bitty McLean on the release of the album Deep. Then after that, it was 2 years on, and another album was released, the album Against the Grind, which had tracks like You Must Know, feat. Don Campbell, also The Living Years, and one song I have to touch on, Main Squeeze, which hit the top five on both sides of the Atlantic. Please tell us how Main Squeeze came about.
Well, I can't even begin to go into Main Squeeze, because you see, like how you just mentioned... 3-4 great albums in like around 5 seconds, man. I've got to give props to each and every person that was involved.
For real.
You know what I'm saying?
For real.
Let's rewind back to, let me see, Rhyme and Reason.
Mm.
Okay, now that album was co-produced by Lloyd Musclehead Francis, and he is the owner of Saxon Sound System, the aforementioned Saxon Sound System. And I have to give enough props to him, because he had the vision of me singing on more harder edge tracks, because he recognized and respected the fact that I was a good lovers rock singer, but he wanted me to basically have a different sound on different harder edge tracks. So at that point, I had embraced Rastafari from them times anyway. So it was a case where the two things kind of ran parallel, kind of ran together. So I basically started singing a lot more root songs, a lot more reality songs. And in the period that I was writing the album, there was like around 30 tracks that I wrote for the album. And we had to take an executive decision as to how we were going to put out the album. So because there were so many tracks, we decided to put out a double album. Now, at that time, it wasn't really heard of for a reggae artist from the UK to put out a double album. But I didn't care. I just wanted the whole thing to be represented on
for
the
real.
One thing. And if you, for those who are really lucky to have that on one CD, you would have like the lover side of me, and on the other CD, you will have the more roots and culture and reality side from me. So that was really the start of the concept album vibe that I had from Rhyme and Reason. Now, moving on from there, Deep was like the first album out of the two albums that I co-produced with Bitty McLean. Now, how Bitty and myself met, we linked up at a event where we was recording for the Dennis Brown tribute.
Okay.
There was like a whole lot of artists from the UK recording making that record, and Bitty McQueen was one of the artists. So, you know, you do the usual smoozing and networking and all that kind of stuff, and I met up with Bitty, and at that time he was having like national chart hits, Over the River and Here I Stand and Dedicated to the One I Love, and you know, and he just finished engineering UB40's biggest selling album to date, Promises and Lies. So he was like, you know, he was in the know and he was well respected on a mainstream level. But anyways, like, I just decided to link him and to talk with him, and first thing he said to me was that, Lloyd, you know, I love the album Rhyme and Reason. I'm a big fan of yours. And I'm thinking he's joking, right? So anyway, two's now, I'm saying, okay, all right, Bitty, here what? I would love to do a collaboration with you for my next album. Okay, so here's my number, yada, yada, yada. And that was it. We parted ways, right?
Same.
Anyway, a few weeks later, I thought, let me just call up on Bitty and ask him about the collaboration, which I did. And Bitty asked me, who did I have in mind to produce the album? So I said, well, you know, no one really. It was just going to be like a rhythm-based, a couple of rhythms that we will build from scratch, you know what I mean, that kind of stuff. And Bitty said that he will co-produce the album.
My gosh.
I thought about that for all of 1.5 seconds. I said, yeah, okay, all right, no problem, Bitty. Yeah, man, yeah, we'll do that. And Deep was the album, really, that came out. And that was like a combination of tracks that myself and Bitty produced and the hits that I had with Jetstar, because I had, like, how many hits did I have from there? Fill Me In was one of the hits that I had.
Yeah.
Humanity, Part 2. Those are really two of the main hits that I had. Oh, and I Know as well. I Know was a big hit for me. So we incorporated those tracks in the album. And that was really the album that introduced me on an international level, because at that time, Jetstar had a big distribution base. You know, and then from there, you know, just done my thing, done my PAs and what have you, and, you know, just tried to reach out to more different territories and things like that. And we carried on the works, and we was on a roll, so we decided to co-produce another album, which was Against the Grain.
Yeah.
But on this album, we really wanted to go mainstream. We really, really wanted to go mainstream with this album. So, you know, so we kind of wrote the songs and produced the music with that in mind. So that's what we've basically done. And Main Squeeze was a tune that, it kind of came to me by accident, really, because Barry Simon had the hit Come Down Father.
Yep.
Well-liked tune, well-loved tune. But unbeknownst to me, Tony Phillips from the Rough Cut Band and Jazzwad had co-produced a track with Donna Marie called Master Plan. And they co-produced the same rhythm track for Freddie McGregor to voice on called Searching. But I didn't discover the track until I actually bought Donna Marie's album and played it in my yard.
Mm.
And I'm listening to the rhythm track, I'm thinking, whoa, yeah, I've got a voice on this track. So I phoned up Tony, and he said to me, well, you can't really voice it because it's commissioned for somebody else to sing. I said, no, I don't care. I want a voice on this tune today, right?
Yeah.
I said, I will write a song for it and I'll voice it for you today. He said, okay. So he said, well, come down, get the rhythm, got the rhythm, went back home, wrote Main Squeeze in around 25 minutes.
Wow.
And then went back to the studio the following day and voiced it. I had no inclination or no idea as to where the tune would reach. It was just a song that I felt I just needed to voice and just get out there. Just, you know, just have it do the rounds in the clubs, just let the people then feel nice. Not looking no fame from it, not looking nothing from it, just giving the people food for thought, you know what I mean?
For real.
And then the tune just went crazy. It bust up the place here. It was number one in Florida. It was top three in New York. And like the whole of America basically got the tune and were raving about it, but they didn't know much about me at that time. So when Against the Grain came out and Main Squeeze was included on the album, that's when a lot of interest came from America for me.
See.
So I had two DJs, Brixton Hitman, who was based in San Francisco, and Ito K, who was based in Florida at that time. I mean, they were playing my stuff. They were playing Rhyme and Reason when that was coming out from 1999. So they were really the first DJ to play my material out in America. So when Against the Grain came out, is that we kind of thought that when the album came out, that we would get a nice decent deal with it, and then we could really get the album out there proper. But you know, it wasn't to be. But I still had faith in the album, and wanted to do my best by it. Bitty felt the same as well, and you know, we worked it as best way we could. So that was really the album that introduced me properly to the world, you know. And from there, basically, I started working on an international level. Worked in Europe, worked in America. I just kept the links and the vibes working from there. Really, just, you know, gaining fans as much as I possibly could, and you know, working with a lot of producers who I admired in Europe and in America. And that's when the relationship with Lloyd Campbell from Joe Fraser Records started as well. And from there, I recorded two albums with his label through VP. I think Don Campbell was the first artist to voice an album for VP Records at the time, and I became the second, and I voiced two. And the first one was Dreams to Remember, and the second one was called Really Together, which I voiced with Fiona. Yeah. Now, Fiona, for me, is like she's one of the best female vocalists to come out of Jamaica, you know, of my generation. You know, I really have the most respect for her. She's a wonderful artist. She's a beautiful person. And it was a thrill to work with her. And Really Together was the album I recorded with her. And then from there, I just basically started working on my own projects, really. And that's how Rhythm Works basically came about. Set up my own recording studio and decided that I wanted to put my sound out there and you know, to get my sound heard, and hopefully for my sound and my music and my vibe to be embraced the world over, you know?
For real. Okay, you know what? I have to ask you, please, Lloyd, give us a few lines out of Main Squeeze.
Oh, what, of Main Squeeze?
Please.
Okay. See, I don't want to see in prison shows. From your line of admirers, I stand first. Reggae music, lightning, Daddy Fridge, Mr. T, reggae music, make a sweet combination. Gonna prips a request to the DJ. Keep the drinks in the bar flowing same way. There's a corner with our names written on it, which leaves this question I ask. Would you be my main squeeze in this dance? Shame to waste a tune so nice. Would you be my main squeeze in this dance? Press what you put tonight. Yes, it's your night.
My gosh. My gosh. That's all I can say. Well, so much to talk about, but I have to jump on to the release of an album that took the world by storm, Silver. The album celebrating 25 years of you being in the music industry with tracks like Angels, Leave the Guns Alone, and many more. But one tune that I have to touch on that hit the airways all over the world was Show Me That You Love Me.
Yeah, Show Me That You Love Me. That track almost never happened because of the simple reason of my integrity to Taurus Riley, She's Royal. When that tune came out, well, even before the tune came out, when the album Parables came out, I was fortunate enough to be invited alongside Roger Robin and Donna Marie to be a part of Lloyd Campbell's Joe Fraser Records anniversary concert.
Okay.
And we were due to perform with Taurus Riley and Dean Fraser with the Millennium Band, Freddie McGregor's backing band.
Yeah.
And that for me was like, it was an honor for me because I had heard of Taurus before when he made the song Stay With You.
Yeah.
And I thought at the time that Taurus had really one of the most freshest, newest, soulful voices in reggae for a long time. And I just needed to basically show him that, you know what I mean? And, you know, the link was basically set up, and that's how we got to work with him. But it was like, when we actually performed at the show, Parables was just released, and She's Royal was by no way featured in becoming a hit whatsoever. But when I saw Taurus Riley perform She's Royal, right, the ladies ran from the back of the venue right upstage. Yeah. It's like Usain Bolt couldn't even catch the ladies there, for real, man. You know, they ran that fast, and I'm thinking to myself, whoa, wait till England and the world gets a hold of this. And so said, so done. So obviously she's done the business, pop up the place worldwide. And Dean Fraser, through Lloyd Campbell, asked me to voice on the rhythm track as the like the first counteraction, because he was going to do an album of he was going to do like you know how they do the rhythm album with all the artists and etc. So he wanted me to be the first artist to voice on the rhythm for the album, and I said indirectly, I don't want to do it. And Mr. Campbell asked me why, and I said, look, you know, I don't want to look as though I'm jumping on something here. You know, because I've voiced on some big rhythms before and what have you, but, you know, a song like She's Royal coming from a brand new artist right about now, he needs all the space, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Dean Fraser, you know, like, he became very insistent, and I couldn't ignore it or refuse it. So I had to basically voice the tune. But the problem I had was how to lyrically complement She's Royal. Now, obviously, She's Royal is basically celebrating the regality of the empress, of the lady, of the woman, right? But for me, it's like I have to kind of put it in a more realistic term, as, you know, obviously you meeting the lady and everything is good and everything is blessed, and the point now where you're in a relationship and sometimes the familiarity can come tempt and you can take your partner for granted and things like that. And, you know, it's a case where it's like, you know, where's the love gone in our relationship? You know, you need to show me that you love me so things can be blessed minus the stress. And that's how the song came about, you know. And but one of my friends who was a DJ heard the tune, and I had no intention of putting it on the album either, but he said, that sounds like the number one track from your next album. I'm saying, no, I don't really. But then I thought it would make sense to do that, because nobody else had voiced on the rhythm, like I said before.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything kind of followed on from that, because I'd already recorded the track for the Silver album, but it was supposed to be a duet album. So most of the people most of the artists' songs that I covered with, obviously with the exception of Robbie Williams now, I was going to see if I can get to do collaborations with. And obviously Prince Lincoln, because he's no longer with us, right? But that was basically the objective. But through no fault of my own or the artist, you know, it wasn't meant to be. So I decided to make it a solo-based album. And half the album was original composition, and the other half was basically covers of songs that I grew up with in my musical journey. You had... Unconventional People by the Royal Rasses.
Okay.
You had We Need Love from Johnny Osborne. That the Truth and Rights album was like, it was either the Truth and Rights album or Bob Andy's songbook for Studio One that I had to basically feature a track on. But, you know, Johnny Osborne won it at the end of the day. And obviously Aswad had a big influence on me. Yabby U, Deliver Me From My Enemies, you know, all those tracks had a major influence on me in my musical advancement. And I wanted to basically say thank you to those artists for making the music for me to feed off and vibe off, and for me to become the musician that I am today. You know, so that's how the whole Silver album came about. I didn't care if it only sold one copy. The fact that I'd done it was enough for me, you know, and Silver just became an album that just, it just blew up. And it blew up so much that all the albums that we exported to the US, we had to get them back just to cover the demand for the UK. It was kind of weird because, you know, my albums would sell more in different territories than in the UK. But at this point, it sold more in the UK than it did elsewhere. And then the rest of the world kind of picked up on the Silver album as well.
Yeah.
And that's when really just... it just confirmed my status as a truly international artist.
For real.
Yeah.
Well, like I've said, Lloyd, there's no stopping you. After Silver, you carried on and released yet another album called Browning Points. And you are now very close to the completion of yet another album entitled For Your Consideration, which will be released by Rhythm Works and Cousin Records in November. This will make it your 13th album. What can we expect off the album, Lloyd? As I know, there are some wicked collaborations on there with you and Sweet Irie, also Chucky Star, Don Ricardo, and more. Please explain some more about it.
Well, I mean, you know, this album, the difference is with this album is there's more collaborations with DJs than there are singers. And, you know, it was purposely driven like that. And Don Ricardo, you know, he's an artist that I rate so much that it embarrasses him. You know what I mean? I mean, for me, Don Ricardo, his writing is like that. You can put his writing, his songwriting, on a par with Barry Salmon. Easy. If you listen to his tunes, they're real, real good. He's like, you can picture what he's basically writing about, and that's what I admire. I truly admire about him. He's a very good songwriter. He's a very humble soul, a very humble spirit. You know, an easygoing brother to get along with, and you know, it was a pleasure for me to record with him. He already recorded a collaboration with me on the Deep album, track called "Listen to Me Good," and it was just a case where, since his introducing Don Ricardo's album, we never really heard a lot from him, and I just so much wanted people to just get a chance to hear him, you know, because it's been a long time since his last album that they have heard from him. So, you know, just to get him on one of my tracks was an honour for me, but I think it would be an honour for everybody else, for all reggae fans, to hear him. Because he needs to be heard, really and truly. He's one of the, you know, he's one of the best artists that we have in the UK. But, you know, like, you're never a king in your own country still. So, you know, I just hope that, you know, as far as my work can go, the collaboration with me and him will go as well, and people will basically look on what he does and embrace his music as well, because, you know, it's all about the fellowship and the unity, you know what I'm saying? It brings strength, and that's all I try to do with the music, and, you know, work with artists that I admire and respect, you know?
Definite. Okay, apart from more and more and more and more albums, what future plans and projects do you have that you could tell us about?
Well, I've got one project in particular where... really, I can't really talk about it too much because I really like just to hit you with the product.
Okay.
And then you just basically say, yeah, that was a good idea. That was a good idea. Because people always tell me, they say, Lloyd, whenever you open your mouth and say something or you think something, somebody else has got the same idea and does it before you get a chance to do it. So when I do it, it looks as though I'm copying the person that already done it before. When really, you know, It was a case of great minds think alike. So I'm not even going to let leak none of that. But obviously, like you said, you know, Father Willing, there's going to be more albums. You know, there's going to be more performances on an international level. You know, I would like to really get to link up back with my fans from the UK, because I haven't really done a lot of shows here. I've been working more in America and Europe than I've been working in the UK. And, you know, I know it might seem like I'm forgetting all my fans over here, but I have not. I'm just, you know, just trying to basically just spread my works worldwide. But, you know, promoters, if you're listening, I'm here. You know what I mean? Just link me and we can get something moving, something happening, where the UK fraternity can get strength and work, and UK fans of the reggae music can basically get a chance to see us in full effect. That's what needs to happen.
Definitely. Lloyd, just before you go, do you have any shout-outs for anyone and any messages for your fans?
Well, you know, this message is a universal message. I want to big up my fans. I want to big up DJs. I want to big up all the DJs, whatever media you're on, whether it's pirate, legal, internet, I don't do this. I mean, we could have, you know, we could be making a million records a day, but if it's not getting played, if people like you and the Lightning team are not feeding the people the good music, and, you know, I've heard and seen your works, Daddy Fridge, and it's like, you know, enough respect to you, enough respect to Mr. T, because you make sure people get to hear what's happening. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, seeing you do a couple of cameos on Clean Out's video and things like that, and that's all good. That's all good, bless. You know, so I want to big you up and big up Mr. T and one of the Lightning crew and all the DJs there, and, you know, I just want to thank everybody for supporting me, and not only myself, but you know, but what's coming out of the UK fraternity, because it's hard for us, because we're seen as secondary, you know, behind our Jamaican counterparts, and You know, we're all doing the same thing. We're messengers of the same thing as well. So we want to thank you for keeping our messages up, keeping it out there, bringing the vibes across and feeding the people with the music. You know, and that's basically it. My family, my friends, everyone who has supported me through thick and thin, bad and good, feast and famine. Just want to thank each and every one of you that has been loyal to the cause. Bless you out, each and every one.
Well, you know what, Lloyd? I can't just let you go like that. My listeners would not be happy at all. Please, give us a few lines out of Show Me That You Love Me.
Did you ever say thank you for all the things that I showed you? Still I stood by you. Has it occurred to you lately how I'm feeling, my baby? Still I stand by you. Yet there is one thing I need you to know about the small matter that you neglect to show. Show me that you love me. Show me that you care. So we can be blessed now.
Minus the what?
Minus the stress now. Oh yeah, yeah. Bless up.
Bless up. Once again, blessed love to you, Lloyd Brown, and thanks for giving us your time here at Lighten FM tonight. And we wish you all the best in whatever you go on to do. Got to send a big shout reaching out to your management each and every time. Can't left them an inch. They made it possible, you know?
Thank you so much. Bless. And thank you for sparing the time to talk to me, too. So,
yeah, monkey, thanks.
Say thank you, no, for all the things that I've shown you. No, still I stood by you.
Well, gotta say a big thank you reaching out to Lloyd Brown. What an interview.
No, how I'm feeling, my baby. No, still I stay.
Run over so much time, but everything is the way that it's supposed to be, you know? Is it Daddy Shortman? Big up my brother. Real, real big man around here. Key podcast out of show for us. Easy Daddy Sharp Man. Can't lift your inch. So what?
So we can be blessed now. Minus the stress now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did I render you lonely? Was I your one and only? No, still I stood by you.
How we go, sir? Well, we're going to come back just after the hours of 7:30. And I tell you, I need to be like lightning bolt. I need to be like the boat and do 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right the way down to 1 for the Lightning FM Top 10 Reggae Chart. And you know I'm going to do it, ain't it? Because that's the way we have to do it each and every time. So we're going to get it the same way still. Easy Smalley. Show me that you care. How we go?
So we
is it a 271? 599? Is it Maxine? Fiona? Beverly? Christine? Nice to have all of you listening in. It's nice to see all the one drops. Lloyd Brown taking things to the world. I tell you, watch out for his new album very, very soon. And you see, when the new album's released, I'll have Lloyd back inside the studio live with me talking about the new album, selecting tracks off of it, and so much more. I tell you, can't left our UK artists them at all. You understand? Next week, Wednesday, we link up back down there in Jamaica again and take another artist. Who will it be? Keep it locked here. Next week, Wednesday.
See, I don't wanna seem presumptuous. From your line of admirers, I stand first. Reggae music and you make a sweet combination. Don't the prips are requested the DJ. Keep the drinks in the bar flowing same way. There's a corner with our names written on it, which leaves this question I ask: would you be my main
number
sweet?
Number one station, Lightning. Number one station, Lightning. Number one station, Lightning. Number one station, Lightning.
Would you be my main squeeze in this dance?
I'll rewind. Would you be my main squeeze in this dance?
Would you be my main squeeze in this dance? Easy on my crew down there in Jamaica, locked on. I know say so many of you down there. Definitely locked in. Easy the Mullins family. They don't left me an inch. Easy my good friend Stevie Face. I'll leave you in Chiver, sir.
You're an empress of true distinction. I wanna set the wheels in motion. Yes, you know, you don't know. You have my full attention. Hey. As sure as the sun follows moonlight, in my arms you'll be raptured.
Gonna be got Rollo each and every time. Easy, Rollo.
Names written on it, which leaves this question I ask. Would you be my main squeeze in this dance tonight?
Definitely wouldn't want to waste the tune, you know? Don't want to waste it. Have to play it back again. Have an answer for the dance. Would she be my main squeeze? I wonder.
See, I don't want to seem presumptuous. From your line of admirers, I stand first. Reggae music and you make a sweet combination.
Gotta send a big shout, reaching out to Terrell each and every time. How you doing, girl? Easy, Miss Spice.
Would you be my main squeeze in this dance? Would you be my main squeeze in this dance? Would you be my main squeeze in this dance? Like we ball rewind. Would you be my main squeeze in this dance? Fresh wallpaper tonight. Yes, it's your night. Tonight is your night. Yeah. You're an empress of truth.
So many tunes to play. 13 albums. Can you imagine how many tracks 13 albums is? My gosh, that's over 130 albums. Over 113 albums. Hey, I like those texts. My gosh, I love those texts. This is my reply to those texts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one leading us through to the ad breaks. Lightning 90.8 FM, Daddy Fridge. We just spoke to Lloyd Brown, UK's finest.
I just don't get it. Do you enjoy being hurt? I know you smell the perfume, the makeup on his shirt. You don't believe his stories. You know that they're all lies. Bad as you are, you stick around, and I just don't know why. If I was your man, baby, you never worry about what I'll do. I'll be coming over back to you every night.
Station Lightning. Number one station Lightning.
Yeah, yeah. Your true beauty's description. You look so good that it hurts. You're a dime plus 99, and it's a shame.
Number one station Lightning.
I tell you, I'm going for those ad breaks. Catch you back straight on the other side. Don't touch your dolls. Don't go nowhere. Comedy.